Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I hope that you're having a great Thursday, as we have got just a jam-packed show for you. Later on in the show, I'm going to air the Georgia Alabama Sports Live show that Thrift Behringer and I did this week, and I'm going to preview the upcoming games for today, as yesterday, Grambling defeated Montana State 88-81 in overtime. Colorado ends up beating Boise State 60-53. So I've got three out of the four play-in games correct. I'm actually picking Colorado to beat Florida in the first round. So we'll see how that goes. Coming up, probably happening by the time this show airs, you got Michigan State taking on Mississippi State. I think that Tom Izzo is one of those coaches. He stacks the schedule. Michigan State looks like, even though they're 19-14, they have the pedigree of making deep runs in the tournament. It doesn't matter if they're a 7 seed, an 8 seed, a 9 seed. I think that Michigan State can get it done against Mississippi State. You got Duquesne, the Dukes, taking on BYU. I'm picking Duquesne to win that game. That's the 12:40 game. Akron and Creighton. Could we possibly have our first number 14 seed that gets an upset? I still think that Creighton, a very talented team. They were so close last year, making a deep run, making it to the Elite Eight. And then Arizona, are they going down again? Because they were a number 2 seed last year, and they lost to Princeton. Can Long Beach State pull off the upset? I do like Arizona, especially the North Carolina transfer, Caleb Love. Wagner taking on North Carolina, 2:45 p.m. Morehead State, Illinois. Illinois is my favorite to make it to the Final Four. I'm picking Oregon to beat South Carolina. I'm just not a firm believer in South Carolina. I like this Nevada team over Dayton, even though Dayton has always been just one of those championship teams. Colorado State over Texas. Texas is my dark horse to make a deep run in the Midwest bracket. Kentucky has the players to beat Oakland. McNeese and Gonzaga, this is going to be the first upset of the tournament, in my opinion. The first 12-5 matchup. And then you got South Dakota State, Iowa State, St. Peter's and Tennessee later tonight. NC State, Texas Tech, Samford and Kansas all the way to 9:55 p.m. And then Drake, love the Drake, against Washington State. That's going to be at 10:05 p.m. So all day NCAA tournament play from 12:15 all the way to 10 o'clock at night. And then, you know, we get to do this all over again on Friday. These first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, because I don't count the play-in games, this is my favorite time to just sit on the couch if I'm not working, or just watch the games on my phone as I just pull them up, and there we go. So it's going to be a fun day of March Madness. We do have NIT games to talk about, as Seton Hall beat St. Joseph yesterday, UNLV over Princeton. You got Cincinnati beating San Francisco, Indiana State beating SMU, second round NIT games. Georgia on Sunday is going to take on Wake Forest. South Florida is going to be hosting VCU. And I'm looking forward to seeing the NIT. I'm also looking forward to seeing the women's bracket. So Vanderbilt beats Columbia last night. Presbyterian beats Sacred Heart. Today, you got Arizona taking on Auburn and UT Martin taking on Holy Cross. So Friday, I mean, we got South Carolina, the overall number one seed, 32-0. Coach Don Staley got a juggernaut. They look like they're the new UConn taking on Presbyterian. And you looking at this bracket, Stanford, they're a number two seed. I mean, I'm shocked that LSU is a number three seed, but you got Ohio State, who is a number two seed. Louisville's a number six seed. They've got Carver's own Olivia Cochran. Saturday, we're going to have Iowa and Caitlin Clark in action. I am so excited about the NCAA tournament, not just for the men, but for the women. All right, Major League Baseball. As the Dodgers did get the 5-2 victory in the MLB World Tour yesterday, we do have an update as right now it is the middle of the seventh inning and the San Diego Padres leading the Dodgers 12-8. Don't forget, later today we are going to have a baseball game on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. We are going to have Shaw and Hardaway part of the doubleheader. Last night in high school baseball, Brookstone, they look like one of the hottest teams in the GIAA. They beat St. Mary's Academy 20-2. You had Marion County defeat Carver 10-5. Later today, we've got St. Apicelli taking on Westfield School in Perry. Glenwood hosting Abbeville Christian. Jordan is hosting Rutland. Northgate is hosting Northside. Russell County hosting Chatco. And we also have Shaw taking on Hardaway for a doubleheader that will start at 4 p.m. I know that there's supposed to be rain in the forecast tomorrow, and so they have decided to move the games to today. As many of you know, I'm a huge fan of sports documentaries. I love The Last Dance. I love the ESPN 30 for 30s. But there is a documentary that just wrapped up on Apple TV. And yes, at one time I did have an Apple TV subscription. That's why I was able to binge watch Ted Lasso. I probably need to get that subscription back because I really want to see the Patriots Dynasty documentary that's on Apple TV. I never liked the Patriots. I didn't really care about Spygate or Deflategate or 28-3 or the Malcolm Butler interception against Seattle. I mean, really, I didn't like the Seahawks, so I was kind of glad the Patriots won that Super Bowl. But you got to remember that the Patriots dynasty, it wasn't just Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. There were just great pieces in that organization that did it the Patriot way. And there was just something about a guy like James White, just an ordinary running back who would elevate his game in the biggest stage. And like, what about a receiver like Malcolm Mitchell? Just coming out of nowhere, having just a flash-in-the-pants type game in the Super Bowl. The Patriots, when the dynasty first started, remember, they won the Super Bowl in 2001. They were a huge underdog against the greatest show on turf. 2002, they go 9-7. They don't even make the playoffs. I think it wasn't until they got Corey Dillon in an 03 and 04 when they were the repeat champions. And they went 14-2. Remember, all these Super Bowls the Patriots were in were very close. And Adam Vinatieri bailed them out. I mean, Jake Delhomme for Carolina almost beat the Patriots in that Super Bowl. If T.O. doesn't get hurt, maybe the Eagles win that Super Bowl. And we all know how lucky they got with the Malcolm Butler interception and the 28-3 against Atlanta. I do believe that they had all the right ingredients for a 20-year dynasty, but it all went to shambles, especially when Tom Brady left. I haven't seen the documentary yet, but I really want to see it. But I've been told that it doesn't depict Bill Belichick in the greatest light. He is great. He is probably one of the greatest head coaches of all time. But they were given a lot of credit to Tom Brady in the documentary, and rightfully so. I mean, because he proven after going to Tampa and winning a Super Bowl there, and Bill Belichick can't get a second job. He can't get a job after the Patriots. So what does that tell you about Bill Belichick and his ways. I really want to see this documentary. Yeah, I'm going to have to get my Apple TV subscription back up again. I mean, once I binge-watched Ted Lasso, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I went and got a new iPhone a couple of years ago, and I had a year's worth of Apple TV subscription. And it was kind of cool, and I binge-watched Ted Lasso, which is a very underrated sports TV show. Well, the Columbus Braves, yeah, that's what I'm going to call them. The Columbus Braves, they have a new general manager. Pete Lavin is going to be the general manager that is going to be taking over for the Columbus Braves for the 2025 season, as the Mississippi Braves, AA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves, will be moving to the Fountain City. And they are going to renovate historic Golden Park. They are going to upgrade the facility. It's a project that's expected to drive the development of family residences, hotels, office space, retail, restaurants. It's going to be renovated to expand the seating, add suites, and club-level seats, and they plan to host future events like baseball tournaments. Possibly the Georgia Sports Council will get involved. I can't wait. It is going to be awesome for the minor league baseball team to come to the Fountain City in 2025. And I'm going to start calling them the Columbus Braves, because I believe that is going to be the name. And I can't wait for the merchandise to come. And really, the step in the right direction is hiring a general manager. So wish him the best of luck. All right, with that being said, I think it's about time to go ahead and take that break. Going to sign off here for the Sports Beat. Stay tuned for the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live show that Thrift Barringer and I did this week as we break down the brackets in the NCAA tournament. You don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat presented by Georgia-Alabama Sports Live, and we will be right back.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in each Sunday morning right here on WQEE 99.1 FM for The Key for Help from a High with Bishop Daniel Hardaway Sr. of Redemptive Life Worship Center at 9 a.m. Hear the Word of God and soak it in. You can join us for our live Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Redemptive Life Worship Center at 2265 Highway 54 in Marlin, Georgia. Have a blessed week.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live Show. Thrift Barringer here alongside my guy, my partner in crime, Richard Holdridge. We got a great show in store for you this late Monday evening. So if you're in bed, enjoy us as we just give some quick thoughts on college basketball as we head into the NCAA tournament, kind of preview what we're going to do this week. Really just a quick show just to try to get you informed on what's happening in the sports world. specifically at George Alabama Sports Live. Richard, how are you, man?
Thrift, I am doing great. As you can see, I'm excited about this show because I was very busy yesterday after the selection show, and I have completely filled out my bracket. I'm excited to share it on Wednesday. That's a tease. I'm not going to reveal everything, but I already know pretty much the field of 68, and we haven't even played the play-in games yet.
Yeah, so we'll get into that in just a moment. Just want to say thank you to Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC for being our sponsor. We appreciate all their love and support they have shown us throughout this end of the basketball season, heading into baseball season. We got a big-time week this week, Richard. And I probably should have sent you the schedule so you could have thrown that up there as a graphic, but I did share it on the Facebook page, the schedule for this week. So today, we'll talk about that in a moment. Brookstone play Columbus. Richard, you'll talk about that here in just a moment. Tomorrow is Harris County, Columbus. Then on Wednesday, we got the Georgia Alabama Sports Live Show. Exclusive interview with Corey Black. He is resigning and stepping down from being the athletic director at Pacelli for a new opportunity at Emmanuel Prep. We'll have an exclusive interview with him, Richard. Plus, we're going to tackle some our predictions for the Final Four in college basketball, as you talked about. Drop our new high school baseball ranking. So a lot to get into in person at the Beck Center, where we've called home now for the last several shows. And then Friday, if the weather permits, we got Hardaway Shaw, but it looks like that may be rescheduled. And then Saturday, I'm extremely excited for. We're back doing an in-live show in person at Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC in their showroom, Richard. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to being there. We're going to have on some special guests. Looking forward to maybe having on some Columbus Lions, either people, executives or coaches or players. We're going to have on them on. Maybe Rex Castillo, maybe some other Jonathan Hoppe and some others. I'm going to try to get them up there. We're going to go all out like we always do, live, 12 o'clock, before the second round starts of the NCAA tournament. We're going to be bringing you live from Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 Central. So if you're in the area, come to Opelika, check us out. We may even have some stuff we may be giving away. Stay tuned for that. That's a teaser. But this Saturday, if you're not able to make it, tune in live, YouTube and Facebook, George Alabama Sports Live Show at Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC. Richard, any other thoughts before we get started?
I just can't wait for this busy week that we've got, Thrift. I mean, we got a mixture of baseball, we've got March Madness, and we've got some Georgia Alabama Sports Live shows, and I'm just ready to kick it off.
I am too. So let's, without further ado, get into it. Well, we're going to go all in on college basketball. Richard, I did want you to kind of tell us about what happened in high school baseball around the area today.
Absolutely, Thrift. I had the privilege of calling the Brookstone Columbus game on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. As Brookstone defeats Columbus 2-0, it was an incredible pitcher's duel between Taft Middleton for Brookstone and Michael Nodelman for Columbus. Brookstone won 2-0. It was a very quick game. It was cold. It was windy. But Brookstone pushes their record to 12-3. Columbus 8-9. They're facing Harris County tomorrow. Brookstone is going to be facing St. Mary's Academy for a two-game series in the GIAA. And, you know, some other baseball games that were going around, you know, you had Pacelli beat Westfield School. You had Manchester taking on Kendrick. I mean, right now we've got some region games just happening around the Chattahoochee Valley. Central won their game in the Gulf Shores tournament. I can't believe this. Central is 17-1.
Wow.
Incredible record by Coach A.J. Kehoe. And it's rightfully so. Central won Athletes of the Week for WRBL last week. I mean, they've had a fantastic season.
Yeah, so we're going to keep trucking. We'll keep doing games. Central's out of town this week. Calvary doesn't host any games. Glen Wething hosts Abbeville. Pacelli's only home game was today, and we went to Columbus and Brookstone. And then coming up here, starting April the 6th, we got a doubleheader for CV softball and baseball. So, Richard, excited to be able to attack that this upcoming year, and looking forward to continuing baseball season. And we'll hit on some softball too, Richard. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's throw up the brackets. Let's give our opinion on it and talk about it. So we'll first start with the East, and kind of not going to go game-by-game breakdown. Really just thoughts right now is what we're doing. We're discussing how the bracket turned out for the men's, give some thoughts on the women's, talk about the game as a whole. But we really won't dive into our Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four until Wednesday. So we'll do that then. So we got some time because, I mean, this has only been out for 24 hours, Richard. So I need more than that when I'm picking my bracket. I know you're as soon as you get it, you're ready to pick. I like thinking about it a little bit. No problem, UConn being number one. I think they are the best team going into this tournament. They are the defending champions. They have to be dethroned. They should go in as a number one overall seed. But that's about where I stop here in agreeing with a committee in this bracket. So you're telling me the three hottest teams going into this NCAA tournament that all won major Power 5 conference tournaments in the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC, the three toughest conferences this year, they all three win those title games. For Iowa State and Auburn by double digits, and yet they're in the East bracket facing against each other with UConn. Help me understand the criteria. I have no problem with Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates, Andy Kennedy from UAB, Nate Oates from Alabama, upset that they're a four seed, more specifically Auburn, is a four seed for one, and then has to go to the farthest location that is in this NCAA tournament, which is Spokane. My thought process is this. They know Auburn fans travel, so they knew that they could – that's house money with them. They put Auburn anywhere, people are going to go to the game. But come on, Richard. To be a four seed is a travesty. I have no problem with Illinois being a three ahead of Auburn. They have more quadrant one wins. They had a really good non-conference strength of schedule, and they won their conference tournament. It's the other threes and the twos that I got a problem with. I don't understand it. This is definitely by far the toughest bracket. It's going to be the one everyone should be watching. Iowa State, Illinois, I have both them coming out, and I got Auburn and UConn. I'll just stop there. Do you have any problems with the East bracket, Richard?
Well, I don't have a problem with UConn being the overall number one seed. I do have a problem with Auburn being a four seed. I thought they would at least be a three seed because they won the SEC tournament. I mean, you should be rewarded for winning your conference tournament. Same with Illinois, same with Iowa State. But I think that this is going to be the toughest bracket, and we'll see how it plays out. But really, I do not agree with Auburn being a number four seed.
Let's move on from the East. We'll go down to, I think it's the West that's beneath it. No problem North Carolina being a one seed. Mississippi State an eight. No problem with that. I think Alabama is right where they should be. I don't think they're in the right places where they should be playing the first round in Spokane. But got no problem with them being a four seed. And honestly, looking at this bracket, I got no issue with it. I don't know, maybe because Baylor beat Auburn. That's why Baylor's a three seed ahead of Auburn, and they did look at head-to-head. Again, no problem with anyone seeded here. And I'm really okay with how this one panned out. Any thoughts on that, Richard?
Well, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything. I do like North Carolina as a number one seed. They were the runners-up in the ACC. I think it's redemption time for Coach Hubert Davis for a team that was preseason number one last year that missed out on the tournament completely. He led them to the championship 2 years ago. I think that it's not just Armando Bacot, who's one of the candidates for Naismith Player of the Year. I think it's the guard play.
R.J. Davis.
There you go. Yeah.
Conference Player of the Year in the ACC. Again, we'll talk about the teams, our favorite to come out of each bracket on Wednesday. This is more just, do you have a problem with any of the seedings?
I don't. I thought that Michigan State was seeded a little high. I thought they were a bubble team.
I did too. And I thought they would be one of the 4-10 seeds that were going to be playing in the first round.
Griff, I think the committee wanted to do everything they could to try to get Michigan State in this tournament because it's Tom Izzo's final season.
Is he retiring after this year?
That's what I was told. I mean, I was listening to sports talk radio. My sources could be wrong, but I do believe he's retiring. But I'll have to fact check that.
I'm going to fact check you right now, Richard. We don't do that on this show. You got to be fact checked.
I got to be. That's why I'm going to make sure it's a reliable source. But he could be retiring. We don't know for sure. But I do think that Michigan State is.
He said back in January he won't be retiring.
Okay, well, there you go. You heard it first here on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. He is not retiring.
So Richard's trying to listen right there. There's your motivation, Tom Izzo. Richard's retiring you already. He says you're a joke, and this is going to be
no, not at all.
Watch them win the next two games and up North Carolina in the Sweet 16.
Thrip, Michigan State is always dangerous when they are seeded. Yeah, at tournament time, they were a number 7 seed. You know, I could see them beating North Carolina in the second round. Right. I mean, they're a dangerous number 9 seed, which I got them beating, well, Mississippi State. But, yeah, Michigan State is a team to watch in this tournament.
Richard's just wanting you to see his bracket so bad right now. Richard, it's a teaser. They need to tune in Wednesday.
They got to tune in Wednesday.
My bracket's not filled out yet. All right, move on. Go to the Midwest in Dallas. I think it's Midwest. That's the top right. I think that's Midwest, or is that South?
Yeah, top right is South.
Okay, so go to South, Richard. And the South bracket, again, no problems. At Nebraska, A&M, I thought A&M is 9, maybe 10. I think they're perfect where they're at. Let's see, Kentucky, 3 seed. Again, beat Auburn. That's why I think they put them ahead there.
You're right.
I thought Kentucky, they were my favorite to win the conference tournament and the SEC last week, and then it losing the first round, I think, to Florida. They were the 3 seed. No, it was A&M. Excuse me. Florida beat Alabama. Kentucky lost to Texas A&M. Again, no problem with any of these. I really only have a problem with the East bracket because it doesn't make sense to me. Why would the number 1 overall 4 seed, which is Auburn, the number 1 overall 2 seed, and the number 1 overall 3 seed in Kentucky and Iowa State being in the same bracket as the number 1 overall seed? What's the perks of being the number 1 overall seed if you got to be in the toughest quadrant of the bracket? That don't make no sense. How do you understand that?
I don't understand why the committee did that. I do look at this bracket, and I think that Boise State and Colorado, you know, they barely got in. I mean, you could make the argument for Indiana State. You can make the argument for South Florida, our guy there, Donovan Williams. You know, they're not in this.
Pittsburgh, Oklahoma, and St. John's.
St. John's.
Out of the NIT tournament.
Yeah, they decided, you know what, we don't want to accept that bid in the NIT tournament. But Florida, to watch out, their 7-footer is out with an injury. Florida could be vulnerable, but I thought Florida had an amazing run playing Auburn in the SEC tournament.
They are another team. And honestly, if you look, in the first bracket, Auburn is the SEC team that could come out of that one. But beneath it is Alabama. This one could be Kentucky or Florida or A&M. Many people think A&M could upset Houston. They got a senior-led team that's made the NCAA tournament last year. And then the one below it, let's go down there to that one, Richard, the final quadrant of the NCAA bracket. This one had Tennessee as a 2 seed. Again, same thing. No issues with this. South Carolina being a 6, I think, is a good spot. Gonzaga and Kansas. I will say Kansas being a 4 seed. Are you kidding me, Richard?
They should be a 6 seed.
They should be a 5 or 6. If that is Auburn or anybody else, let's say anybody that's not a blue blood, South Carolina, that their record, the way they played down the stretch, and maybe not having their top 2 players, that's a 6 or 7 seed. They got Kansas being a 4 seed. Are you kidding me?
It's an absolute disgrace.
It is a disgrace. But you know what? When it comes to logic and the NCAA, they don't coincide. They don't go together. So I don't even have a problem with it anymore. This is how the NCAA tournament panned out. The only issue I had, I think some people were overseeded, and I don't understand why the 4 hottest teams in UConn, Iowa State, Illinois, and Auburn all are in the same bracket. If anything, they should be in their own bracket because they are the 4 hottest teams. Instead, maybe that's for TV ratings. They wanted that to be in the East, TD Garden. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense to me, Richard, but that's the NCAA. Like, let's throw that bracket off. That really outside of those seedings, I am excited about this NCAA tournament. I don't think there is a prohibitive favorite. I know UConn goes in as a favorite as a team defending champion, but this is one of the years, just like last year, where it could be chaos again. I'm hoping that it's names. I don't care for the upsets and the FAU and San Diego State Final Four. I hate it. That's not making me want to tune in to a Final Four at night. You know what is? Duke, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or Kansas versus Villanova. Heck, UConn, Purdue, Kentucky, Duke. Those are the names that I think of when I'm ready to watch the Final Four. So I'm hoping that's what happens for this NCAA tournament. We'll see. I think some of the storylines going into this is guard play versus dominance inside, because there's several teams that are known for their inside presence. Purdue, the defense and athleticism of Houston. Auburn relies on their inside presence. A lot of these guys and teams are favorites to win it this year, Richard. Why? Because of the dominance inside. But on the flip side, if you look in the last several national champions, they've had excellent guard play. So who are some of the teams that have really good guard play? You mentioned Caleb Love from Arizona, R.J. Davis from North Carolina, UConn, obviously. Tyler Colick, if he can come back healthy from Marquette. The team that I picked to win the SEC tournament, Kentucky, with Reeves and Shepherd. And Dillingham, those are the teams that I think get hot. And that's what I think of when I'm going to ask about my criteria. I go off teams who are going in playing the best basketball right now. Even if they didn't have a great, you know, postseason or conference tournament, they were playing well before the season ended. And those are the teams that I would put up there, Richard. What about you? What are some takeaways for this NCAA tournament?
Well, one team to watch out for, they're playing in the play-in game, is Colorado. I love Cody Williams. He is going to be a lottery pick. I want to see the stars come out here in the tournament. And I think that's why I think that Colorado got into the tournament is because they got Cody Williams. You talked about, like, Rob Dillingham. I mean, you got Jacoby Walter, I mean, at Baylor. Stephon Castle over at UConn. You got to remember, UConn, no more Jordan Hawkins, but they still have Stephon Castle. I think that if UConn wants to make a run and be the first repeat champion since 07, they're going to have to get a guy like Stephon Castle to get hot like Kemba Walker or Shabazz Napier, because I think UConn's run to get it their sixth national title since 99 is going to rely on a lot of luck, like they did last year. And when they were a number four seed and they were able to beat a San Diego State team that was just happy to be there.
And I mentioned about the guard play, but this is also the year of the big man. Armando Bacot.
Zach
Donovan
Edey.
Klingon of UConn. Zach Edey, the player of the year. Janai Broome from Auburn. I can't think of his name right now, that plays for Florida, the big man that I really Samuel, Tyrese Samuel. He's an excellent player for Florida. Many of these teams have elite that are really good this year, have good big man and good big man presence. So we'll see. I'm excited. We'll be breaking it down game by our bracket, our teams that are favorite to win, sleepers. We'll do all that on Wednesday. Ultimate breakdown. I mean, Wednesday show, we got an exclusive interview with Corey Blatt, then all in on college basketball. And then we're going to end the show with our high school baseball rankings. Hey, we may save that for Saturday. If we have time, we'll throw it in there Wednesday. But we'll probably end up saving that for Saturday, Richard. For the women's tournament, of course, they put LSU as a 3 seed. Why not piss them off? Put them in the same bracket as Iowa State, Iowa, and Caitlin Clark. The NCAA does this for money. And they know that now people are going to have a problem with it. This is what's going to be talked about leading up to it. And which is why they dominate 3 weeks in the spring. That's what their goal is, and they're accomplishing that goal. But I can't wait. Elite Eight, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark battling it out for the Final Four, Richard. A potential Reese and LSU South Carolina Natty that we wanted last year. We may have more people tuning in for the women's than we do the men's.
Yeah, I can't believe the LSU's a number three seed, and they're not going to meet in the Final Four. Your number one seeds, Iowa, you have USC, Texas, and South Carolina.
That's a joke, Richard.
It is.
It's a joke, and I think also the NCAA, because of the brawl and everything else surrounding LSU, everything that happened with Angel Reese this year, I think they're trying to make a statement to them that this is what happens when you don't, in their mind, act right. I don't agree with it, but that's exactly why I think the NCAA tournament is doing that. All right, let's move on and stay here in college basketball real quick. Who would be your player of the year this year, Richard?
Would it be? Oh, man.
Who are you giving it to?
I think Zach Edey. I think Edey because he averages 24 points a game. But, I mean, if you really want to get technical as far as, like, you gotta remember, Stephon Castle has had an awesome year for UConn. Oh, boy. I mean, I think that Dalton Nett from Tennessee. I think Dalton Nett. Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb, Thrift, and say Dalton Nett from Tennessee.
You're going to go with Dalton Nett. I think it's going to be Zach Edey. He's going to be back-to-back because he was dominant, their number one seed. I would give it to Dalton Nett. I told you last week, I definitely would give it to Dalton Nett. R.J. Davis was great for North Carolina. But Nett coming in from a non-Power 5 school to come to Tennessee in the toughest conference, I think, in the SEC, put up 20 a game, I think you have to give it to him. But they're going to eventually give it to Edey. But I got no problem with them giving it to Dalton Nett. Dalton Kennett. Excuse me. It's Kennett.
It's Kennett. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like Kennett.
So like Kennett Stadium.
Of course you would say that, Richard. Right, we're going to take a break. We're going to show you why when you go to Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC, get ready to smile.
Here are three great Chevrolet offers from Glenn Smith in Opelika. Check out the powerful, full-size, and fully loaded Chevrolet Silverado High Country, discounted up to $13,000 off. Or the roomy midsize three-row SUV, the Chevy Traverse, discounted up to $8,000 off. And the perfect-size Chevy Equinox, up to $7,500 off. No payments until summertime. Over 300 new and used vehicles on the lot or on the way. Get ready to smile.
Welcome back, everyone. Thrift Behringer and Richard Holdridge, thank you so much for Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC being a sponsor of ours. I'm hoping that in this NCAA tournament, we start seeing some of the blue bloods come back if they can. You know what I mean? And I'm excited to see, you know, teams that were relevant when I was – you know, coming up and growing up, the coming back into fruition. I don't want to see many upset this year. I'd like to see good teams in the Sweet 16 and teams that you know about heading into the Final Four. I thought it was a travesty for that's how Jim Nance, to end his calling college basketball games with FAU, Miami, UConn, and San Diego State in a San Diego State UConn trash national championship. I'd have retired from that too, Richard. I mean, come on. We got to hope that it's better this year.
Yeah, it was really the play of San Diego State upsetting the overall number one seed Alabama last year. And then you had Miami, a number five seed, upset Houston. Purdue loses to a 16 seed, Fairleigh Dickinson. And then you have Florida Atlantic beat a Tennessee, a number four seed. Like I said, and I don't mean to be dissing on UConn. UConn catches a lot of breaks when they win these championships. And really, four seed.
You're going after UConn.
I really am. They have won five championships. The old 99, they were a number one seed. They had a very good team. But they were playing probably one of the best Duke teams.
Let's look at it. 99, they beat one of the best Duke teams and never won a national championship. That was
right.
37-1 going into that game.
With Carlos Boozer, Jay Williams.
I don't think that's a fluke. That's a big-time win.
Yeah, it was. They deserved it.
2004, they beat
Georgia Tech.
and then they beat Georgia Tech. I mean, not a great team, but they did have to beat Duke in the Final Four.
That's right.
2011.
That's the Kimba Walker year.
And they had the upsets. They got hot. They ended up playing Kentucky and then played at Butler in the national championship. I think the fluke one was obviously 2014 because then Kevin Ollie gets fired a few years after. I can see that one. Last year, I know they had some losses, but I think the way they were playing, they were going to beat anybody, in my opinion. I think they were the best team last year going into that NCAA tournament, and they were a four seed. That's why I'm saying maybe a four seed again this year. I'm telling you, Auburn's really hot, and I'm looking. They're going to be upset, obviously, but maybe not as frequent as upsets as seeing like maybe more of a Michigan State beating a North Carolina.
Right.
Than I would see a 15 upset and a 2. I don't think we're going to see those as much as we will see maybe a Power 5, lower Power 5 upsetting one of the top, you know, seeds that are in this NCAA tournament. That's how what I can see playing out. But, again, I'm really going to go into depth on Wednesday show and tell you team by team, players to look out for. We're going to go all in depth. Me and Richard, it's going to be a long show for about an hour and a half. Interview and then straight into college basketball and maybe tie it up with some high school baseball as well.
I can't wait. I mean, I'm just excited about revealing my bracket. And I'm just one of these guys, as soon as the selection show is done, I just start filling out the bracket.
No doubt. By the way, we had Columbus Brooks on. You missed that. Make sure to go and tune in. Like and subscribe. Facebook and YouTube. Tomorrow it's Harris County Columbus. Show on Wednesday, show on Saturday, and that is it for this week. We'll be back again next week, Richard, doing several baseball games around the area. Got some big locals ones that we'll be doing. Looking forward to that. So I did want to say NBA, I guess we can touch on it just a little bit real quickly, Richard. If I'm the Hawks, I'm not trying to make the play-in game. I mean, it's a waste of time. So why not get a draft pick? Trae Young's hurt. What are we doing at this point? Being the 10 seed? What is that? Because right now they are the 10 seed, but they're four and a half games up on Brooklyn, and Brooklyn sucks bad. They don't want to be in. So the Hawks are going to be just de facto because the team behind them are so suck, and they don't care about winning. It really is. It's Indiana. Philly went healthy with Joel Embiid, Miami, Orlando, New York, Cleveland, Milwaukee, and Boston. Boston obviously is head and shoulders better than everyone else. New York, Cleveland, and Milwaukee, competitive teams. I'd put Milwaukee and Miami as in if Philly's healthy, I'd put them up there, but I just don't think Embiid's coming back. So, and even with Indiana getting Siakam, they don't play good enough defense, and if they are an 8 seed, that means they're playing probably Boston in the first round, Richard. Good luck beating Boston. I don't care how good Tyrese Halliburton plays. No one's beating them until the NBA Finals. But Miami, I think they're starting to play their best basketball. They're going to be a 5 seed. They'll maybe get Boston in the second round. You know that they're always going to be alive. And now with Terry Rozier, Jaime Vaquez, Tyler Hero, they're healthier than they were last year. They're deeper than they were last year. Why wouldn't they be the favorite? But in the East, it's Boston. I'm looking at a Boston-New York conference finals, what I would love to see. If New York-Cleveland, if New York can catch up to Cleveland, 2.5 back, get a 3-seed, play Milwaukee in the second round, beat them, which I think is very possible, New York and Boston could be a fantastic conference finals. Is it what we're going to get? Probably not. Boston will be in it, but I'd love to see a Boston-New York. What about you, Rich?
I think that would be amazing, but I really think it's going to be Boston-Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals.
At Dame time, when it's time, when they need him the most, he's going to come through?
I possibly think so. I think the Milwaukee lost a step or two on defense with Drew Holiday going to Boston.
So they're starting to play better. They're 20 games above 500. They're won 7 of the last 10. They're the number 2 seed right now. If they can stay number 2 and avoid Boston until the conference finals, and then they do have a player in Giannis that can take over. And if they played, Boston and Milwaukee played, Giannis is the best player on the court. Doesn't mean that they're the best team, but the best player sometimes can beat the best teams if they get hot.
Oh, no doubt.
Western Conference, that's a whole different ballgame, man. The Lakers, I think, could beat anyone really in a series. They're a 10 seed. Golden State's playing well. They're a 9 seed. Both those teams are 4 games above 500. You got Dallas and Phoenix, both 10 games above 500, that are the 7 and 8 seeds. My team that I think is going to make it to the conference finals and play Denver is the Clippers, and they're a 4 seed. They've started cooling off since they had that stretch of winning 25 of 30 games. How about Zion Williamson, point guard Zion? New Orleans is 15 games above 500 and the 5 seed. Right now, if the playoffs started, let's say Golden State and the Lakers both get eliminated, and Phoenix and Dallas, we'd have OKC versus Phoenix. I could see an upset there. Denver versus Dallas. We just saw Dallas win on that unbelievable shot by Kyrie on Sunday. Still taking Denver to win that in 4 or 5 games. Sacramento and Minnesota. I'd go to Minnesota, especially if Kat comes back. And then Clippers and New Orleans. That's the health series. If everyone's healthy for both teams, Clippers are still winning, but it'd be fantastic. I'd love to see a second round that has Clippers, Phoenix, Denver, Golden State, and the Lakers. Four of those 5 teams. But if I see Dallas with Luka and Kyrie, I wouldn't be upset. Honestly, any of those teams except for your team, Sacramento, I would have no problem seeing in the second round because they all got stars. Anthony Edwards from Minnesota, I love to watch. New Orleans, obviously. Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram. Denver has Nikola Jokic. OKC, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Dallas, Kyrie, Phoenix, and Kyrie and Luka. Phoenix, KD, Devin Booker, Golden State, Steph Curry, LeBron, Lakers. Every team except for Sacramento is a guy that I want to watch play. And I like De'Aaron Fox. He's nice. And Malik Monk may win 6th man of the year. But I don't care about the Kings making it to the next round.
Yeah, I know. Sacramento is one of those teams that nobody really likes to watch. It's a small market team. And, you know, we did have the greatest show on court in the early 2000s with Chris Webber, Vlade Divac, Peja Stojakovic. But that was such a long time ago.
Hold up. Who gave you all that nickname? Did you give it to him?
The greatest show on court. That was probably the Sports Illustrated.
So they really came out with that. I knew they did for the greatest show on turf in the Rams from 99 to 2001. But they really couldn't come. They had to become unoriginal, and they had to do the greatest show on court.
Yeah, that's part of the Sports Illustrated jinx. The Sports Illustrated had an article of the starting 5 of the Sacramento Kings.
Chris Webber gets hurt, and in back-to-back seasons against Dallas, you should have won, and then Minnesota the next year. You lose in 7 games both those times. You lose the best player. Just think if he doesn't get injured, Sacramento wins. And I would think they beat the Spurs in 2003, and then they smoked the Nets, obviously. The Kings definitely should have won it that year. But in the NBA, I guess I like Ron Russillo and Bill Simmons. They think it's Denver-Boston.
That's the finals I got too.
I'm leaning that Denver Boston or Clippers Boston, one of the two. That's what I'm leaning towards. But honestly, if when watching Denver, when they are playing their best and they want to win, they will. They're the only team that can just say, "Hey, let's turn it on and let's win." Boston's to an extent, but because of the sporadic play and pressure moments of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You know what you're getting with Nikola Jokic. That's a double-double, triple-double walking machine. I'd go Denver-Boston still right now, too, as the favorites to make it this year.
That's a good pick. I mean, I wouldn't mind a Boston Clippers finals either. I mean, I just think that for Boston, it's NBA finals or bust. I really think that
– NBA finals, Richard. They finally got to win one.
They got to win. Yeah, I think they got to win.
They have experience. Let's think about these two players, Tatum and Brown. Brown came in 2016. Tatum came in 2017. Brown's first season, he kept on that fluke Boston team that, remember, the East was terrible back then. They beat the Wizards and then ended up getting smoked by the Cavs that year, who ended up getting smoked by the Warriors. So it didn't matter who won the East. They were going to lose to Golden State. That was the first year with KD and stuff. Then 2017, conference finals, lost to Cleveland. 2018-19 is the team that was so loaded that lost in the second round to Milwaukee. 2019-2020 conference finals, 21-22 NBA finals. Last year, conference finals. That means 2017, 2018, 2020, 22, 23. Five conference finals in 7 years. One NBA finals, no championships.
Wow.
You only got a certain window. That window don't last 15 seasons, man. We're already at seven with these guys. I think another 3 years, they got to get one. And I think this year, the way they're playing, Porzingis is healthy. Jrue Holiday, they've only got a few years left in him of elite defense. You've got, who am I?
Derek White,
who's elite defender. This is their year, Richard. They have to win it, and I don't think they will. I honestly don't think they're ever going to win a championship with just Tatum and Brown. They need a third guy to be the number one guy. A leader like a Chris Paul back in his prime would have been perfect for these two guys. Until they get something like that, when all else fails, unless Tatum can take his game to the next level, I'm not seeing it this year beating Denver. But those two are the favorites, and making it is a great accomplishment. The Hawks are just happy to make it to the conference finals, let alone the NBA.
I think that the Denver Nuggets, they're going to go back-to-back. I mean, we're starting to see a dynasty. You know, I'm the type of fan, I'm kind of either or. I like seeing the Toronto Raptors come out of nowhere and win a title in 2019, the Dallas Mavericks winning a title in 2011. But also, we have had the Spurs, Heat, Lakers, Warriors constantly show up to these NBA finals because, let's just face it, teams like the Warriors and the Heat and the Spurs, and to some extent the Lakers, are very well-run organizations that know how to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, and can't wait to see when the playoffs start because I don't care about the regular season. And now this last month, really, the West is going to be – it's going to be wild, wild West. But the East is pretty much – we'll see, you know, some of the seeding plays out. But it doesn't bother me until we get to the playoffs, which is
going
to start in April. Okay, again, Columbus Brooks on today. Brookstone beat Columbus. You can check that out. Richard Woods on the call tomorrow. Harris County Columbus. Rick Beach on the call. Wednesday, all-out show exclusive with Corey Black and dropping all our college basketball predictions, NCAA tournament men's, and we'll even get a women's Final Four prediction too. And then high school baseball rankings either Wednesday or Saturday. Saturday live show from Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC, which is this show is presented by. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. And we hope you have a good rest of your week. Make sure to like us on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, you can always reach out to me and Richard. From Thrift Barringer, Richard Aldridge says, good night, everyone. Be safe. And we will see you tomorrow, Columbus versus Harris County. Thank you for watching the Georgia Alabama Sports Live Show presented by Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC. You're ready to smile.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out, it's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any trolley that crawls your way.
This is Austin Black, and I am the host of Behind the Tunes. Have you ever wondered about the stories behind your favorite songs and the journeys of those that sing them? Well, each week, we invite you to go behind the tunes and step into the stories behind your favorite Christian artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
Hey everybody, this is Andy Christman. Join me this week for worship as I play 2 hours of the best in modern worship music from churches and worship leaders around the world. And this week, my special guest is Blake Goss of New Spring Worship.
See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making ways in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. For us, that scripture came alive because he did a new thing actually in an old place.
You don't want to miss a moment of this week's worship with me, your host, Andy Christman.
WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, home of Southern sports and talk, Noonan, Sharpsburg, Franklin.
The Baxters have a new first book. From number one New York Times best-selling novelist Karen Kingsbury, author of life-changing fiction, comes The Baxters, a prequel. The heart-pounding story of Carrie Baxter's wedding. Amidst family tension and the worst storm Bloomington, Indiana has seen in a decade. The Baxters, by America's favorite inspirational storyteller, Karen Kingsbury. Visit KarenKingsbury.com for more information. The Baxters, available now wherever books are sold.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Calvary Sonoy Fellowship is an expository Bible teaching church where we study the Word of God line by line and we apply it life by life. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on WQEE and we look forward to having you join us. Our church offices are located in Sonoy, Georgia, 6855 East Highway 16, Suite 102, Sonoy, Georgia. If you'd like to call us, our number is 770-755-8243. Or you can reach me, I'm Pastor Bob, at bob@calvarysonoy.org. S-E-N-O-I-A. You also can go to our website at www.calvarysonoy.org. You can reach our YouTube channel there as well as our Facebook page. Join us at 10 o'clock right here on WQEE.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.